Hey, verse 31, John chapter 4. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white to harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages for gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. Okay, the fields are white for harvest. It's one of my favorite words, context, isn't it? When we look at Scripture, what is going on? What's the bigger picture? What's the story? What's the narrative? So this is the context of the woman at the well, isn't it? John chapter 4. Jesus, they're going through Samaria. They would often, we've heard sermons about this many times, I'm sure, often would avoid Samaria, isn't it? The Samaritans, they really disliked, hate is a strong word, but they strongly disliked, and they would go out of their way to avoid going through Samaria, the Samaritans. And the history of that is the Samaritans weren't fully Jewish. From a Jewish point of view, they were part of the northern kingdom. So going back to the Old Testament, and they started mixing some of the Jewish stuff and some of the Assyrian stuff. So they weren't regarded as true Israelites. So here we have Jesus taking his disciples through a place that they don't want to go. I'm not sure if there's any areas when you grew up, where you lived, which were not a good idea to walk through, coming from the Rhondda the Valley. There were certain places that were not a good idea to walk through, or some of the council estates, etc. And we would avoid them. Does that make sense? There was a good reason. But imagine that sense, but there was this disdain, this hatred. And we have this powerful, powerful picture of this woman at the well. We know the story, and if you don't know the story, go take some time, look it up at your leisure. Maybe next week when we're fasting and we've not got the television, you can look at Scripture instead. And look at this powerful story. So the context, what is this business of the fields are white for harvest? And just we had a leadership time the other day. It's been great for Alex to be joining us for those. And I just saw something I'd never seen in this passage. So I looked at this thought about the fields are white for harvest. And I thought, what's going on here? So let's rewind a bit. So we know the story. She asks Jesus about, you know, water, and come to me and I'll give you water, the water of life. And then Jesus does this prophetic thing. He says, go and tell your husband. And she says, no. He had this prophetic word. He knew. He could sense that she'd had quite a few relationships and that the man that she was with wasn't actually her husband. Her life was a bit of a mess. And here is Jesus is speaking to her about big, deep spiritual things. Jesus is making the complicated things simple. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. I who speak to you, I'm he. So all of those Pharisees who got all the theology degrees, he wasn't speaking that way to them because their hearts were hard. To this Samaritan woman, who most Jews wouldn't give the time of day to, Jesus is revealing himself as the Christ. We've been thinking about that this morning. Wow. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, well, don't need a doctor, do they? It's the sick. And some people, they can't see Jesus. They've got no need for Jesus. And if you don't need Jesus, then go for it. Enjoy your life. But actually, I realize that I need Jesus. If Christianity is a crutch, give me two. Because without Jesus, I'm stuffed. So here he is. The God-man is revealing himself to the Samaritan woman. I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. So she's had this encounter. She's excited. Her heart is racing. She goes to town. She says, "Come and meet this guy." And the people are coming out. So when Jesus is saying, this is what it says here. Some of you say, there's 4 months before verse 35. Do not say, "There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest." Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white to harvest. And I've never seen this before, but when Jesus is telling them to look, they're not looking at crops. Did you know that? They're looking at people. They're looking at people that people wouldn't think that Jesus was coming to save. The disciples are looking at crowds coming out from the Samaritan town. Look, because it wasn't harvest time, because it's 4 months away. He says, look, look out. The fields are white for harvest. See? And Jesus wants to reach the people that we don't think maybe, you know, we might not think actually might ever get saved, but actually he's come to save the sick. And do you know what? I want the problem of people in this building or when we get home group who maybe swear a bit or smoke a bit or whatever. But do you know, because they're the ones that need him, right? Yes? See, we've got to stop expecting them to look like us and act like us and be like us before they can come through the door. See, Jesus didn't wait for them to come through the door, and there's nothing wrong with coming through the door, and it's great to gather, and we will gather, and we will gather around the word, and we will preach. But he wants us to go out. See, harvest, we've got to go out. There's a harvest out there. And whether it's, you know, connecting with Simon across the fence, you know, God is doing things in different way. Or whether it's meeting Gez on a walk, or whether it's meeting Lewis because Lewis is invited because of a fireworks party. See, it's opening up our eyes and saying, what are you doing amongst us? Who is it? It's looking in a different ways. And Christy, in a very heartfelt prayer, she prayed, didn't she? Open my eyes. She prayed, open my eyes. You could see this emotion because she'd felt, she had a sense of loss that maybe she'd missed some opportunities to share. And our heart goes out to that. And I loved that response in the scripture that Roz read, wasn't it? We're never far away. He's with us. And hey, he uses us despite, doesn't he? Despite our weaknesses, despite our brokenness, despite our failings. That's the miracle of him working through us. But guys, the fields are white for harvest. And you know what? You're part of that team. It's not just me. I'm very happy to do it, and I love speaking to people, and I'm not sure how many times you can preach the gospel in a week before I become an evangelist. And so we sometimes associate with those things, but each of us is called to be part of that. And we have different roles, yes, and some of us sow, some of us reap. Jesus, you know, God adds the increase. The fields are white to harvest. And as we come to this time of fasting, it is time for us to do that introspection, see if there's anything in my life. And maybe there's things in your life that need sorting. We're all on a different place in our journey, and it's an important time for us to take stock and to see what is God saying to me, what is God asking of me. And to pray for us as a church, to pray for the leadership, to pray in this time, because God is doing stuff. The world out there, they are asking questions. You know, there's so much stuff. If you look on the internet, and so many of my friends, they show me links to conspiracy stuff. I'm not sure if you've got friends like that that will show you videos on conspiracies, whether it's to do with coronavirus or the economic system. And someone was saying, we're living in the James Bond era. We've got kind of like these billionaire bald people trying to go to space. Do you know what I mean? And you think, yeah, it is a bit like James Bond, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But that's the reality. But yet we've got this tragedy. We've got people going to space for fun, and we've got people in Afghanistan that's selling their babies because they've got no money. £400, that's the price of a life. That, how can you equate those two? And the problem with the conspiracy videos, and you know, some of that stuff, there's probably some truth in there about, you know, the power of the internet or Google, and so there's some truths in that stuff about media. But they don't offer a solution, do they? They don't offer a solution. And politics isn't going to sort it, and it's praise God for vaccines and health and the healthcare system, but and even the stuff around the climate stuff, isn't it? Liz Ollerton, she said, you know, it's important that we take this stuff seriously. And I was joking with Graham about you'd recycled his jam pot from yesterday's kind of induction service for his wine. I said David Attenborough would be proud. She said, I'm not scared of David Attenborough, I'm scared of Greta. And it is important to be good stewards. That was the original mandate, isn't it? We were called to be good stewards. We should be people who buy free-range eggs. You know what I mean? That was part of our original mandate, was to care and tend for the land. But as Liz rightly said, she said, I don't want to get political, but she rightly said, it's not going to end that way. That's not what's going to cause the end. That doesn't mean that we don't take those things seriously. But we do know the solution. There is a conspiracy. Did you know that? And it's a conspiracy that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Satan has been trying for thousands of years to keep people from God, to keep that relationship separate. We've seen today that on the cross, Jesus broke through that wall of hostility, made a way for us to have right relationship. That's the good news. That's the good news. And you know what? Let's be sharing that good news. Let's be opening our eyes to those people. And let's be using this time just to say, God, what are you doing in my life? Who are the people? Because each one of us in this room, you all know people that, and you've got relationships that I don't have. And God has put you, for God so loved so-and-so, so-and-so, that he sent you. See, the mandate for Jesus is the same mandate for you. The mandate for my life, for your life, is to help set people free and to see them become everything that God has called them to be. So whether you're doing impressive, strange things with lasers and stuff in the medical care industry like Dr. James or whatever you're doing, the same mandate is the same. It's the same mandate, whether you're Sharon down in Cardiff doing her thing. The mandate is to help set people free and to see them become everything that God has called them to be. The fields are white for harvest. Open our eyes, isn't it? Open our eyes, Lord. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers. There's another passage where Jesus talks, isn't it? The fields are plentiful, but ask the Lord for other workers. And we're just going to finish that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about us recognizing that. And out of a place of that, you know, we want to pass on that good news. And so next week, practically, what it's going to look like, if you want to do the full 3-day food fast, I'm going to encourage you, Saturday evening is your last meal, and then we're going to fast on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And what we're going to do is we're going to have opportunity over at the Hub, or the Annex, whatever we want to call it, next door, and we want to have opportunity. So on Sunday evening, just from 6 to 7, the kind of time that you'll be preparing and eating, we want to give opportunity to come and pray. So there's going to be a normal Sunday morning, as it were, at the time. Then on the Sunday, we'll send these details through, but then it's going to be 6 to 7. And then on Monday, 9, just for half an hour, to 9:30, we're going to meet for prayer. And at 1 to 1:30, we're going to meet for prayer. And 6 to 7, we're going to meet for prayer. And it's the same on Tuesday, 9 to 9:30, 1 to 1:30. And then 6 to 8 on the Tuesday, and the home groups, we'll have an opportunity for the home groups to come together. Feel free to come and join us, and we'll break fast with Super Rose. If you're comfortable, if you want to come out, we're going to have a time for meeting at 6, and we're going to have Super Rose. And I'd love to have a problem when we can't get enough people in the room, and we've got to use downstairs, and we've got to use the lounge in the manse. That would be a great problem. But I want to give you opportunity. I'm not sure if you've ever had an opportunity to press in or to pray into God in that way. And if you're thinking of doing those things, do let somebody know. Maybe in your home groups, just... It's so important when we do a corporate fast to encourage one another, to text one another. Maybe those times don't suit you. Maybe you're off to work early, or maybe you want to partner up with someone in your home group and say, well, let's do a Zoom and let's just do a half hour here. It's not about where, it's about that heart posture. So again, we'll send out the details more specifically, but it's an opportunity for us all just to take stock, to put aside something that's important to us and to use that time just to seek him. Some describe it as fasting is then feasting on him. And it's changing our gaze. It's saying, God, would you just speak to us? And then to be able to pray as God leads us into what God is doing here. The fields are white for harvest. And who shall I send? Here I am, Lord, send me, isn't it? That is the prayer, that is the response. So let's, as we close, just pray, and we're just going to finish with that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. There's a lot of people out there that are still slaves, and maybe there's areas in my life where I'm still a slave, and fasting is really good for breaking some of those things. And again, if there's anything you want to talk about, if anything I'm saying doesn't make any sense, please come and have a chat. Or if you want prayer or ministry later on, or if you feel like you need prayer, turn to someone and say, would you pray for me? That's body ministry. That's the family of God working. So thank you, Father God, that the fields are white for harvest. Thank you for this time of seeking you that we're looking ahead to. And would you prepare us for that? Would you protect us for that? Would you help us to step away from some of those things that we do so often, or some of those things and that busyness, Father God, and just to hear your voice. And we just pray that you would speak to us. Pray that you reveal yourself to us. Have your way in our life. That there's areas, even in my life, even right now, would you be setting us free? We thank you that we can be your children because of what you've done on the cross. That you've set us up for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we don't want to be subject to slavery anymore. And there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of things we just end up going with the flow. And we just want to have your way. We know that you're omnipresent. We know that you're everywhere. But we want your manifest presence. We want to feel you. We want to see you more in deeper ways. We want to hear your voice into areas of our lives and our families' lives and our neighbors' lives. That you would just do something for your glory among us. For Christ's sake. Amen.